How would you like if we made a meme like in the spirit of Amazon.com? If you like watching videos of Building 7, you might also like a renegade history of the United States. No? You're not interested in that marketing?
Please not do that.
Good morning. Hit it, Biggie. And Puff. Daddy. Yeah. Hey, everybody. This is Brett. Welcome back to School Sucks Podcast. This is show 302. And we are returning to our free AV feature. Here's why. I was hoping to have a brand new installment in the Renegade History course series for you today, but unfortunately, the star of that series, Thaddeus Russell, had to postpone until next week. Lots of stuff coming up. I've got Andrew Demeter from Teen Take tomorrow. Thaddeus next week. We'll be jumping back into the Logic Saves Live series the week after that. A whole bunch of other guests on the way. Some of these people, kind of a big deal, so I've had a couple other cancellations and postponements that I'm working around right now as well. Today, one of my favorite after shows of all time. It is from June 13th of this year, and it is the discussion that followed what you heard in School Sucks Podcast episode 297, Behold the Dictator, part 1 of 2. I'm going to wind the conversation back a minute so you can hear where we were right before that show ended. And I was hoping to pick this discussion up right there today. All the production on the show is almost done. All I need is the part where I talk to Thad for about an hour so I can stick that in there. And I don't have that part yet, but it's coming. So please consider supporting the show by signing up for the AV Club. Go to schoolsucksproject.com/AV. There's more stuff with Thad in there. There's actually a pre-show from this very same night. There's a conversation we had in preparation for the series. And so many other nice things. Never before released content with all your favorite folks. Richard Grove, Tony Myers, Paul Verge, Jan Ervin, Mark Stevens, Larkin Rose, Gardner Goldsmith, Wes Bertrand, Stefan Molyneux, Thaddeus Russell talking about Stefan Molyneux. What does he have to say? But none of those are really the reasons to support School Sucks. Do it because this is an important message. We want to continue to reach young people. We want to continue to reach frustrated college students, parents in need of resources for home education. That's why I ask people to do this. These free AV shows are simply a reminder of that. So, and for all of you who already do, thank you so much. Okay, everybody. Here we go. Last minute of episode 297 and then the After School Sucks special from June 13th, 2014 with Thaddeus Russell, Antigone Darling, Carlos Morales. Let's do it.
So yes, that's what the Hollywood moguls did. And there's huge evidence. Neil Gabler wrote an awesome book, really fun read too, on the history of the original Hollywood Jewish moguls. They called an empire of their own. He's got all the evidence in there of them being like just comically anti-Semitic. And these guys are all like the sons of Jewish immigrants from the Lower East Side of New York. I mean, they're like as Jewish as anybody ever could be. And they hated it and they wanted to assimilate fully. So your point, I mean, more important than what Marcus Lowe and the Warner Brothers and all those guys thought privately, of course, is what the movies they made. Was there anyone more important in determining, in shaping American culture than those guys? No. For the 40 or 50 years in which they were the boss of Hollywood? No. And what they did was they instituted the Motion Picture Production Code, commonly known as the Code, which went into effect in 1934. And, you know, I say it's not a coincidence that that was the first full year of the New Deal.
To be continued. So wait, this is what I want to save. This can be our next show. So you left us a cliffhanger because that's such a fascinating topic to me. I'd hate to rush it like in the last 5 or 10 minutes here. Yeah. So let's really like expand on that next time. And you, Antigone, and I can figure out a time that works for us, and then I'll coordinate with you.
Great.
So
yeah. What happened to Carlos? Did he die?
He left and then never came back.
Is he disgusted by me? Is he giving up?
No, I should have asked him if I wanted, because there's a mic dangling right over him that is actually on, that he could have just yelled into if he wanted to, but
I see. Oh, he was like not really invited.
Four is a crowd, I think.
Okay.
When
it was not okay, that explains. No, he was not invited. That's what I wanted to know. It's okay.
That is going to start problems.
That's okay. I love Carlos. He's great.
Yeah, Carlos. Well, that was why I wanted to have three people from now on, because I thought Carlos was so great last time.
He's very salty, which is good.
I like salty.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's like kind of a, or you might even say, yeah, no, I'll just stay with salty. Yeah, I like.
Were you going to say spicy?
Yeah,
were you going to say Carlos is spicy? Because how are you? Yeah. Okay.
I think Thad is exercising some wisdom here.
he's a good white American like the rest of us. He would never be spicy.
Right.
Let's see. I know the game. Yeah. No. Good. Great. Yeah.
So, and I'm going to reorganize my outline because it didn't turn out to be too helpful today.
Outlines are usually the devil. You know, I think progressives invented the outline. You don't want to use that.
Well, I've been using, I don't know what you do to stay organized, but I've been using this program called Evernote. The problem is, it's a really good way to keep track of everything you need to keep track of. The problem is all you can put things in is to notes that just look like text documents, when I would rather use something that's more like a mind map, you know, that I could just draw on and add things to. Note cards are usually pretty good, you know, that you can stick on a...
Evernote just released this where you can scan in notes where you've had your little drawings and stuff.
Like, oh, yeah.
And it will make it into text, which you can then edit. Yeah, this just happened like within the last 2 months.
Oh, like a PDF into text?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Unless your writing is really, really bad, it should be able to do that. Because Brett got me on this Evernote thing and I had like one of the best weeks of my life. And then, you know, stuff happens and I stopped using it as much, and I'll put things in there, but I won't organize them the way I need them to be organized. And I know when I'm doing SLA, I have my two pages of notes and I don't get around to it all. So
wait, you guys are talking about just like an outline of ideas for your interview?
For a casual conversation, kind of goes all over. Yeah. I mean, you've done SLA, Thad.
You need a fucking like software for that? Like, why can't you just write that? I mean, isn't it like one page of notes, handwritten notes?
If I printed this, my notes for this would probably be three pages.
Oh, well, that's what you need to do first. You need to simplify your ideas. Seriously.
But I was like, because I thought about that. I looked at all this shit and I said, I should just print this. And I was like, who even has a printer anymore? Do you have a printer, Antigone?
The Quill does.
Yeah, I don't even have a printer anymore.
I went over there to print out two pages of notes for my last show, but then I like arrows and highlighting.
So do
and
I.
All of that type of thing. We're
seriously,
like Luddites.
Guys,
Thad's over here shaking his head.
Listen to me. I've done this longer than you have. I mean this. So what you want to do is you want to work on your mind first. You want to like distill your ideas first and then put it down on paper. And you want less on the paper. If you're doing anything that's oral like this, mm-hmm. you want less. You want very little.
No. Yeah, that's what I... Well, I mean, that's another problem, too. I felt like I was in a real comfortable place, Thad, of idea distillation until you came along. Now I'm all fucked up.
Well, no, I know. We totally derailed. I know.
Now I need... now I feel like I need... Because I mean, I always had these nice, clear paths through a lot of topics, and now... it's been really helpful. And like I said before, really challenging, because now I feel like in a lot of places, I don't have to throw away everything I thought, but I do have to go back to the drawing board a little bit.
I saw your little comment about me on your Facebook page.
What about it? Which comment? What did it say?
What was it? No, it was totally fine. It was something like, he's like, you don't agree with much, but I make you think or something, or like you've,
I'm still trying to even identify how different the places are we come from, you know, in a lot of ways. Like, I don't even think I fully understand it yet.
That's awesome.
But I mean, there's a lot of things you've said where I've been like, oh, fuck that. But then I've been like, well, wait a minute though. And like the nuclear family was the perfect example. Mm. And, you know, the non-aggression principle conversation that we had last time with Carlos generated a huge debate.
So weird. But anyway, that's fine. Yeah.
No, but it's great. I think it's great. And people seem to be very few people. So I've lost one listener because of this.
So
that is stupid. I mean, I've never heard, like, why do people do that? Like, it's, I disagree with these things so violently. I can't even listen to it anymore. Like, what is that about?
This person was offended by the show that I called, the original title that I typed out and had the page all previewed for the podcast. It was called The Slaves Were Too Free.
I saw that note.
So then I said, I really shouldn't call a podcast, as you know, somebody right now with the Clive and Bundy world that we live in. I really shouldn't be a libertarian.
The abolitionists' thought.
I changed it. It was called The Slaves Were Too Free, and then it was a question mark, right? And I said,
okay.
Well, and sometimes, like in iTunes, though, a question mark just looks like a bunch of like symbols. So the question mark really needs to be there.
It's kryptonite, man. You can't even, I know, it's ridiculous. Believe me, I have spent 5 years crafting the most perfect frame for that argument. And it's just, you have to lay it out so carefully. And it takes an hour. It takes an hour just to start to talk about it. It's what I do with my students. But yeah, you have to be so careful with that one. Forget, I mean, if you think fascism is incendiary, nothing compared to slavery. So.
Well, and that's where you get into trouble, right? Because you need to take that hour to just deconstruct all of these assumptions that are made, and then you get to your point. And so you have these little sound bites, and then you're, you know, you're advocating slavery.
It's not media friendly. Let me say that. I mean, it's funny. When we were planning the publicity for the book with my publisher, I remember sitting in his office in New York, and like he was like. And I was sort of naive at the time. I was like, oh, they'll get it. Come on. I have like a whole chapter. I like lay it out as an argument, evidence, blah, blah, blah. That'll be fine. He's like, no, we will not mention that chapter in any publicity for this book ever. Not mention it. And he said, I was like, why is it? Because the whole thing, the whole book will get reduced to something like Russell defends slavery. No matter how you do it. Like if you just put it, you know, it will happen. No matter how carefully you present the argument, it will get reduced in the media to Russell defends slavery.
It will. Yeah, I believe it. Like people need to know. Like I say to people that are like-minded, when they start talking about like these things they want to do, is they just have no regard for public relations. I'm like, you need to go watch Real Time with Bill Maher. You need to watch 5 hours of that show. You need to understand what we're up against.
Are you a sadist? Need to watch 5 hours of Bill Maher. That sounds horrible.
It's like saying to have good cardiovascular health, you need to run, right? Nobody likes to run. Running is fucking dumb, right? Like I hear people just go up to people and start saying shit. And I'm like, this happens in Keene. Like, are you out of your mind? Do you know who you're talking to? Do you know what most people are ingesting?
I know who you're talking about. You're talking about Cantwell, aren't you?
How much do you know about him?
I followed it a little bit in the last week or two. Yeah.
I don't want to get disinvited from Porkfest within like 2 weeks of Porkfest. So I have not said
still,
it.
Is he still expelled?
Yes.
No.
So does that mean he can't go to Porkfest?
There are 5 people on the board of the FSP, I believe. If it's not 5, it's close to that. And they have decided that he is not allowed at any official Free State Project events, which include Liberty Forum, of which you're quite familiar, and Porkfest, a week-long party in the woods.
And is it starting next week?
Week after next. Are you coming?
I'm scared of it, man.
Why are you scared of it?
All the gay, pot-smoking, gun-carrying...
The guns scare me. Especially if then you got like this knucklehead Cantwell who's probably going to like storm it with his fucking...
Well, listen, if you hear him talk just like in a non-confrontational setting... He's smart. You know, he's certainly, I don't know. I don't think he
Everyone's
and I would
smart. That's never the problem.
Like, well, yeah. Okay. But I just picture every time he does anything, I just picture like the boardroom at Media Matters and everyone's just high fiving.
Oh, like, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
He has written articles that I would have shared. he is intelligent. And then he says this like sexist thing, or like there'll be like a sentence or two in there. And it's like, dude, what the fuck? You really couldn't hold back from saying that one thing?
Yeah, his thing about alpha males or whatever, that was that video.
What did he say? What's the...
He got all these like libertarian women to talk about how they like...
Oh my God! Yes, I saw that.
How they liked alpha men, like to take charge and be strong and to make them do things. And I was just like... Okay.
Make them do things. Well, I mean, couldn't he have just asked any women what they like? I mean,
You know, sexual... I think he meant... I mean, I can't remember. It's something sexual. You saw it, right, Antigone?
I did see it. It was awful. I recognized definitely one chick, maybe two from there. And it was just like, debating philosophy, that's for pussies. I want a real man. How can I expect you to protect me when you can't protect yourself?
Right.
Was one of the lines. It was really, really awful.
Yeah. So when it's like, I don't want to waste time with people like that. That's kind of, he's like an extreme version of the Molyneux thing for me. Like when I see that, I'm like, okay, we're done. I just don't want to waste. I'm not going to get anywhere with this guy.
He's feeding off the angry males, which I've called keyboard warriors before. And then the YouTube comments went crazy. Like, oh, obviously she can't get laid. And like, no, I'm fine with that. Thanks, buddy.
Mostly I feel really sorry for them. I mean,
clearly
they're not happy and I can see why. but it's, you know, I just want to get out of the way. You know, and it's not good.
He's doing great going back and forth with other people who will, you know, I mean, his website is atheist, anarchist, asshole.
Right.
He calls himself an asshole and he behaves as such. And that's that. It really doesn't take up any of my time, but I think it's actually great publicity. They say there's no such thing as bad publicity. All this stuff going back and forth is having all kinds of people hear about this Porkfest party that he really wants to go to and he's not allowed to.
I almost, as far as like the bad publicity, I almost forgot who O.J. Simpson was until he cut two people's heads off. You know, right? Like, I think there's such a thing as bad publicity. And I mean...
It's not good for you. He's not good for you. Well, I mean, the fact that you expelled him is good, but...
Well, actually, that's funny that you say that, Thad, since you've been to one of my parties. He came to the first Sex, Lies, and Anarchy party. He came up to me talking some shit, and I told him, I'm not going to speak with you anymore. And I'm the host of this party, so maybe you should make your way out of here. He goes upstairs and tattles to my boyfriend that I'm not being very nice to him. And it's like,
what?
Dude, I accused you of being a misogynist, and then you go tell my owner that I wasn't being very nice to you. Like, how awesome is this? I couldn't have written it.
Put you in line.
So last comment in the chat, Antigone is in the top 5 hottest women in this community. Haters going to hate.
Drink up that haterade.
Well, that's not news.
Aw.
Wow, it's weird when you take things out of context.
You know, this chat needs to be scientifically managed.
Okay, well, most of them are crazy. Anonymous users, so...
I know. No one logs in.
I hate that.
Well, that's what allows people to make these comments. If I say something about keyboard warriors, then all of a sudden I'm a frigid lesbian.
When I'm the dictator, I'm going to like make it illegal to post anonymous things on the internet. So I heard you got Nick Gillespie of all people to come.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. We went down and talked to him in Boston during some reason get together. And we took a photo. There was like 6 women with him and like everyone was wearing all black in the very Gillespie way. And he got talked into it. So he said, like, you know, he doesn't do camping. And we have plumbing up at the campgrounds and all of that. And I do believe he has a room. So
I do camping. I'm a big camper. Backpacker, everything.
Where do you camp though? Because where do you go camping usually?
I'm on the fucking big mountains, dude. No, I'm like a major outdoorsman.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and I've seen a picture of you with a rifle and you're afraid of the guns?
That was the first time I'd ever touched a gun in my life. That was a year ago.
Well, I mean, the fear dissipates as you use it, or as you, you know, use guns.
I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like being around a bunch of people with guns. It's just scary.
Next time you come to New Hampshire, I'm taking you shooting on my own property too.
That's fine. When it's controlled and I know who's there and I know what we're all doing, that's good. But if I don't know 9/10 of the people there and they're armed. That's scary.
All right, Brett, don't tell Thad about this thing called cops.
They're scary too.
Yeah.
They scare the shit out of me too. That's right. I don't know.
Don't worry. They'll just shoot your dog and tase you.
But now it's like, I'd be really worried about Cantwell doing something.
Oh, no, he's not going to do anything.
No, I don't think he's like that.
But he lives there, right?
No, he moved down to New York.
I heard he moved to Keene.
Oh, he's been saying that he's going to move back there. He's not welcome there. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, I thought he was already here.
Is he ex-military?
No, I don't believe I don't think so. Now, he did this one video where, speaking of what Will Cantwell do, and I thought this was I was like, I wish this guy wasn't using words like libertarian or voluntarist or anything like that, because this video was pretty funny. I mean, it was bad, and I wouldn't have done it, but it was a funny comedy piece where he gets into some kind of flame war with somebody online and they threaten him and he realizes that they live like an hour away or something. And he goes to their house and he gets on a megaphone in their driveway. And he's like, I'm here now. You were talking tough online. Does that still apply?
Yeah.
Are you still ready to, are you still hard now that I'm here? And he gets out of his car and he has a dash cam and he turns around. He goes out and the guy threatens him with a hockey stick. And so he gets in his car and he leaves. And then he's doing this. It's a hilarious video. But he actually.
This was real?
It was real. And it says, unless he's just like a total, you know, scam artist, right? Unless he sets all this stuff up. But a lot of he's a smart guy and a lot of his videos are really good. Like, I've seen him go to like Occupy Monsanto and I have really good interviews with people. So sure. The thing I don't like about him is that everybody I've ever talked to about him who's actually dealt with him in real life doesn't like him. But I met him once. He was nice to me. I would give him a chance. Like, if he was here, I would, you know.
Yeah. You don't have boobs, so that's different. But all this talk about ostracizing him, I'm like, dude, that's 3 years ago for me. When I met him,
yeah,
that's all that was necessary.
What did he do about your boobs?
He didn't do anything about my boobs. And I forget what it was that he said to me, but I'm not a super sensitive person. I don't get easily offended. He said some shit to me where I was just like, you know, you are not worth my time, my acknowledgement of your validity as a human being. Like, you are like nothing. You need to go now. And that was that.
Yeah.
So it must have been something. And I do think it was related to my gender. So it's like, wow, this is my party. This is the Sex, Lies, and Anarchy party. And you're going to walk in here and tell me how, like, women this or women that. There's the door.
Yeah.
Hey, but he has a great following online, so gets a lot of web traffic. So if anybody's still listening to us, our conversation, could you message him on Facebook? Tell him we're talking about him. Tell him to screen cap this and go on his Ustream channel and start broadcasting and doing a commentary.
Yes.
Yes. Well, okay. To like raise this up a level. Like,
okay.
I mean, you know, I've been somewhat following the Kathy Reisenwitz stuff. Like,
oh,
you know,
dear.
I know. Well, okay. So I, of course, am generally on her side in that. I mean, we don't agree. I mean, believe me, there's some stuff. It's amazing to like to hear someone who's a libertarian say things that to me are too.
Wait, are you saying she's a libertarian?
I don't know. I don't want to get into whatever. Self-described libertarian who says things to me that are too lefty. You know, that's weird. That never happens. But anyway, I am, you know, on the sort of thick versus thin, the whole Jeffrey Tucker thing. What did he call it?
Brutalism.
Brutalism versus whatever he called it.
Humanitarianism.
I thought that piece was not that clear, but of course you should know by now, like, I am generally on that side and that's kind of what I'm doing here.
Yourself a libertarian, so that's fine.
Say it again.
You also don't call yourself a libertarian, so that's fine. Yeah. And this was not brought up. Tucker just brought it back, but it was actually Charles Johnson based out of Vegas who wrote about thin versus thick libertarianism in like 2008, I believe, for the Center for a Stateless Society.
Yeah, and I love Charles. Charles is like one of my favorites of all time. He's awesome. But I think. But anyway, what was I gonna say? Oh, I mean, no, but I mean, you know, my project is clearly like to kind of like encourage some version of thickness in the movement, right? Even though I don't identify as a libertarian, but like I want to see libertarianism move in that direction. Generally, I don't agree with everything there, but you know, including C4SS. I mean, they're as close to me as anyone, but I don't agree with everything with them. But so anyway, I mean, that's to me like the Cantwell Risenwith split, which is representative of a larger split that's clearly seems to be really happening now. It seems like a civil war, maybe a too strong a term, but like there's a real like fight going on, which I think is good. And I'm not on his side. And I think that New Hampshire people, from what I could tell, generally are kind of on his side. They're on the thin side.
And Thad, you're going to love this. So during Alt Expo at Porkfest,
yeah,
there's going to be a debate on thin versus thick libertarianism.
Yeah.
Well, Nick Ford is arguing thick libertarianism, and I'm arguing Antigone.
Just the two of you?
Yeah, that's all that they got. I don't know. Nick seems to be organizing it. I don't even know how I feel about the word libertarian anymore. I've got my own issues with the NAP, and what everyone's saying is that thin libertarianism is the NAP and the NAP only. Well, I don't think the NAP is black and white. It's all gray. I don't really agree with that, but I'm going to say that everyone's a thick libertarian. If you're a libertarian, you're going to have your cultural preferences. I would think that you would be on the opposite side of that, Thad, being that you are against norms, right? You're against using the scientific method for people. And what thick libertarians seem to be saying is that, oh, everyone should be like this and like this and like this.
Yeah, but I mean, the thins are saying that culture doesn't matter. All that matters is the state, right? That's to me the main fundamental and most important divide between the two. Is that the thin libertarians, to me, is how I read it, I could be wrong, but like that they're saying it's just the state, it's just laws, and that's the problem, and that's all we should be talking about. Everything else is bullshit. So don't you think that's the major split?
Well, I think what they're saying is that, you know, we have this problem called the government, but they're not really coming up with like a diagnosis for that, like we should do this or that or the other thing for it. That's all going to be different subcultures and not like a culture. Because when you're saying like a culture, it seems almost like it's been, you know, prescribed by the state or the religion or whatever, like monopolistic.
The thins engage in moralism and establishing cultural norms all the time without knowing that they're doing that. And that's kind of also what I'm pointing out to them. You know, they're classical liberals, and classical liberalism is totally based in moralism, right? About the self-regulating individual, which we talked about.
I think that's more objectivism. That's not necessarily being a thin libertarian. You have social conservatives, you have Rand Paul type of people who are now calling themselves libertarians, and they are conservatives.
I don't know. I mean, this is getting lost in definitions, but that's really a classical liberal thing, and that's sort of that wing of the movement, right? And yeah, I guess Rand, I haven't ever read her, but like from what I can tell, she seems to be sort of really the strongest proponent of bourgeois norms within that strain. Within that classical liberal strain of libertarianism. So that's who I'm not interested in working with at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, all those people, like I don't hate them. I don't think they're evil. I don't think they're bad. I just don't, it's useless. I don't want to be associated with them. And go your merry way and live in Alabama or whatever. But like, I don't want to deal with you. So
I completely agree with you there actually.
Well, why live in Alabama? What's the meaning behind that?
Mises.
Fair enough. I thought he was basically trying to correlate people who were in Ayn Rand and Southerners, which would be kind of insane, seeing as how Ayn Rand.
I love all Southerners except for the Mises people. No, that's actually unfair too. I actually really like some Mises people too. But I learned this really early on in my first experiences with libertarianism. My very first media interview for Renegade History of the United States was by Lou Rockwell. The very first media hit I had for Renegade just before the book came out was an interview with Lou Rockwell on his podcast. And he thought he loved me. And I realized about 10 minutes into it that he didn't care about anything but economics and state regulation. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all he wanted to talk about. And I was like, you know, that's not really what the book's about.
Well, you know, a guy who calls himself a paleoconservative, I'm guessing he's not going to be able to agree with a lot of what you're stating.
Who, Lou?
Lou Rockwell. He considers himself what's called a paleoconservative, which is like...
I didn't know he used that term, but yeah, I mean, it makes sense. He is, yeah.
He means he's in the traditional families and he likes eating meat.
He's pretty eye to eye, actually, with Alex Jones. I was surprised how well they get along, yeah.
Yeah.
But Lou's way smarter than that.
Oh, of course, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, he's very...
He's not into the conspiracy.
Oh, no, no, he absolutely is.
No, he totally fucking is.
Oh, everything,
he thinks that HIV and AIDS are not correlated. He stated that vaccinations kill kids. He's posted stuff in regards to chemtrails.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah. No, he's full-on conspiracy.
Rockwell,
yeah.
Well, you know, I mean,
yeah. Okay, whatever, Brett. You know,
that should be that's a topic, Thad, that we should do.
So my introduction to Lou Rockwell was I sent them an article like a number of years ago regarding gun control, and they posted it. And as soon as they posted, the one right above it was the AIDS hoax, and I was like, oh, and I do not want myself connected with these people.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was in a documentary one time called Believers Beware, and the guy sends me the trailer, right? So it shows the interview with me. Guess who's up after me? Guess who the next interviewee after me is in the trailer?
Was it Alex?
Nope. David Icke. I'm glad you don't know who he is. He's the reptilians guy.
I still don't know who you're talking about.
It's a good 80s movie. It's called Lizard Jews from Mars. He's fucking batshit nuts.
David Icke, yeah, he's this guy. He's British. And he talks, he says a lot of really good things, kind of like this, Alan Watt is, right?
Slightly.
Okay,
maybe.
So, you know, talks like, has a lot of really good insights and says a lot of things that make a lot of sense. And then, you know, so it's like he's setting out this beautiful spread, right, of, you know, delicious, healthy food. And then he says, now watch me piss and shit on it. And he says, some people are lizards. And that's the thing. See, that's what we have to keep in mind. Yeah. Some people are lizards from the Draco constellation.
Every political movement has them and has had them.
Well, you know? what's horrifying is how many fucking people he draws into a stadium. He'll have it like a stadium with like 10,000 people watching this asshole talk about reptilians. And it's just great though, because like you're bringing up as far as the food trade is concerned, he'll talk about the Federal Reserve. He'll talk about all these different things. And then he essentially is the proverbial turd in the punch bowl. And what makes it even funnier is, as Brett's, I think you had on one of your shows earlier, Alex Jones used to call out David Icke as being a government provocateur.
He called him the turd in the punch bowl.
the turd in the punch bowl.
Yeah. There are a lot of turds in this punch bowl.
Well, Alex Jones has become it. Thanks, yeah. Alex.
He took his formula.
Alex Jones is awesome on The War, you know, and that's when I first heard about him. I was like, oh my God, who is this guy? And then like 5 minutes into it, I was like, okay, no.
The problem is he's good on a lot of things, on most things for a little bit. And then
here's the thing.
He says, watch me piss and shit on it.
Well, he's so excited about pissing and shitting on it, though.
He loves to piss and shit.
Hey, man.
A lot of people, that's their first thing. That's awesome. And they grow beyond that. Rand is the same way.
What?
Here's the thing. Analysis sucks. That's the problem. Right. So the weird, bad, disgusting political things, prescriptions, right, stem from a really shitty analysis. So Alex Jones, all of his nonsense stems from an idea that there are elites controlling the government. Shadowy secret elites. And that's who runs everything. Right.
So is that really, I mean, why is that? If he's kind of cartoonizing the same kinds of things that you're talking about in this chapter that we covered in the show. He just doesn't have the vocabulary. So he said the New World Order controllers, and he's making it very cartoony. But he understands like the progressive agenda.
If you see a conspiracy in my book, it's an open conspiracy. We're talking about people who wrote books announcing that they will organize society like a factory, right? That's not a conspiracy.
Yeah, that's who Alex Jones is talking about.
That's who he's, but I think a lot of the times he is. He's talking, I mean, he doesn't use the names. Like, he doesn't know, like, H.G. Wells and the Fabian Society and who was the British guy? The guy who said, I don't want to punish anybody, I just want to kill a bunch of people. Who was that? The famous...
Life's too short.
George Bernard Shaw.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Life's too short. Alex Jones.
Well, I mean, some people can't see what's right out in front of them, so it's going to be like boogeymen to them. But I think, Brett, you and I had this conversation during Keenvention, during a little like dinner or something we had in the lull.
Yeah.
How most people or a lot of people will think government is so stupid. And anytime you're dealing with bureaucrats or cops, they are stupid. But there are smart people in there. You know, there are like smart hackers running the NSA. Right? Like they're in there somewhere. It's not Obama. It's not the people we talk about in media, but there are smart people in there.
They don't set policy, though.
Have you ever read Rothbard's book? It's a short book. It's called Wall Street Banks and American Foreign Policy.
I've read pieces of it. Yeah.
That was a conspiracy.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean, it was true, but I mean, it was a conspiracy. And that's the thing about Alex Jones' stuff is that, you know, you're talking badly about him because he's just shitty at coming to a conclusion that isn't that far-fetched from yours.
Have government decisions been made behind closed doors? Yes, of course. Many are all the time, right? Yes. For him, it seems, I don't know. I don't give a fuck about Alex Jones, but like, it seems like everything that happens in the world stems from some secret decision by a cabal.
Yeah, he does. Like every shooting is
there you go.
Hoax.
That's what I'm saying.
And it's so sad too, because it can be the shooting just started and he already has a complete conspiracy regarding it because one person stated something in 1994. Or a building blows up, and then he immediately goes, you know, to Adolf Hitler, you know, he created
firebombed the Reichstag.
Yeah, firebombed the Reichstag. And therefore, Obama's behind, you know, everything.
Yeah, well, that goes back to what you were saying earlier about PR, Brett. Like, these people will say that about everything instead of saying, yes, tragedy, people died, blah, blah, blah. They don't give a second to that type of, like, you know, human emotion thing. It's straight to the false flag attack.
It's also an interesting way. Like, conspiracy is sexy and it's an interesting way to reach people, you know? Yeah. And I was turned on to a lot of things through 9/11 truth, you know? And then I was like, eventually I was like, fuck, who cares? You know, maybe, I don't know.
The government does terrible things. Oh no.
Yeah.
What's
the takeaway that the government kills people and lies?
That's the one conspiracy movement or theory movement that I'm sympathetic to, because the politics of it are not bad, right? They're pretty good. Like, the politics of it are not bad. The idea, the belief that the government wanted this thing to happen, that it benefited the government, is actually correct, essentially, right? So the spirit of it, the political spirit of it, is good. Did the Bush administration actually plan this? I don't think so. But did they benefit from it? Hell yeah. So the tragedy of the trutherism is that it's actually potential really good energy that gets squandered on a terrible analysis. Because people don't take it seriously.
Not all of it gets squandered. Because I mean, I know a lot of people who started from the truth movement and they started going to meetups and whatever and met, you know, other people that expose them to other ideas and like, oh, you think that's bad? Check out all this stuff.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, they're all, everyone who's a truther is an opportunity for sure. Like can end up, I think, in a more, I hate to say this word, but like constructive place, you know? But until they do that, they're going to be people with essentially good political instincts in a corner of the universe that's not heard from, you know what I mean? That's sort of shoved away, that's marginalized. They're self-marginalizing. That's the problem. They're self-marginalizing themselves, but they have a really good political instincts, which is anti-authoritarian.
Mm-hmm.
That's the tragedy. That's
We
got to find a way to get that message out there.
The anti-authoritarianism thing. Yeah. I don't know how many conspiracy theorists y'all know that are anarchists, but I know plenty of them who are into the Constitution, who are into the Enlightenment, every single thing else that we've kind of been discussing, who basically just state we need to go back to the Constitution.
I think a lot of people outgrow that, though.
Remember 1776, that's the answer to tyranny, according to Alex Jones and all his people.
How would you like if we made a meme, like in the spirit of Amazon.com? If you like watching videos of Building 7 implode, you might also like a renegade history of the United States. No? You're not interested in that marketing scheme?
Please don't.
Wow, his agent's not even in the room.
Please don't do that. It's my worst Hanging out with you guys is bad enough, for fuck's sake.
Aw.
Aw.
I mean, you know, for my mainstream career, you know. I mean, you're like not what I'm supposed to be doing.
We'll try our best to make you unemployable because we know how much you hate work.
Definitely not what I'm supposed to be doing. Yeah, okay, thanks. I appreciate it. All right, I got to go feed my son, speaking of the nuclear family.
All right, well, thanks so much for all your time. Antigone and I will talk, and I'll try to connect with you sometime within the next week, and we'll figure out the next show.
All right, guys. Say hi to Nick Gillespie for me.
All right.
Have a good night, Thad. Thanks.
Bye-bye.